So we're reading from the chapter, Prahlad Pacifies the Lord with His Prayers. That's Lord Nrsingadev. So translation and report by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki? My dear Lord Nrsingadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance, not caring for the big cities and towns. They go to the Himalayas or to the forest to meditate with vows of silence, mona vrat. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to shelter at your lotus feet. This is the decision of the Vaishnava, the pure devotee of the Lord. So here we're seeing Prahlad Maharaj's consciousness, that he's not only caring about his own liberation from the sufferings of this material world, that he's not suffering anyway because he's a pure devotee. For himself, he has no problems, even if he has to stay in this material world, because his only business is to remain in Krishna consciousness. The Krishna conscious person can go even to hell and still be happy. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says, Na vodvye para duratyaya vaitaranyaha. O best of the great personalities, I'm not at all afraid of material existence. The pure devotee is never unhappy in any condition of life. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 6:17-28. Narayana para sarve na kutascha bibhayate sarva gapavaga narakesha api tulyarta darshinaha. Devotees solely engage in devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, never fear any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation, and the hellish planets are all the same. For such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord. For a devotee, being situated in the heavenly planets and being in the hellish planets are equal. For a devotee lives neither in heaven nor in hell, but with Krishna in the spiritual world. The secret of success for the devotees, the secret of success for the devotee is not understood by the karmis and jnanis. Karmis therefore try to be happy by material adjustment, and jnanis want to be happy by becoming one with the Supreme. The devotee has no such interest. He is not interested in so-called meditation in the Himalayas or the forest. Rather, his interest is the busiest part of the world, where he teaches people Krishna consciousness. The Krishna conscious movement was started for this purpose. We do not teach one to meditate in a secluded place just so that one may show that he has become very much advanced and may be proud of his so-called transcendental meditation, although he engages in all sorts of foolish materialistic activity. A Vaishnav like Prahlad Maharaj is not interested in such a bluff of spiritual advancement. Rather, he is interested in enlightening people in Krishna consciousness, because that is the only way for them to become happy. Prahlad Maharaj says clearly, Nanyam tva asya saranam brahmato nupasye. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. One wanders within the universe life after life, but by the grace of a devotee, a servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one can get the clue to Krishna consciousness, and then not only become happy in this world, but also return home, back to Godhead. That is the real target in life. The members of the Krishna consciousness movement are not at all interested in so-called meditation in the Himalayas or the forests, where one will only make a show of meditation, nor are they interested in opening many schools for yoga and meditation in the cities. Rather, every member of the Krishna conscious movement is interested in going door to door to try to convince people about the teachings of Bhagavad Gita as it is, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. That is the purpose of the Hare Krishna movement. The members of the Krishna conscious movement must be fully convinced that without Krishna, one cannot be happy. Thus, the Krishna conscious person avoids all kinds of pseudo-spiritualists, transcendentalists, meditators, monists, philosophers, and philanthropists. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tivamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachari Vishesha Shrimati Paska Chaya Shrimati. So I tried to say something about this verse in connection to the Sankirtan mission. It's clear from this purport some very simple points that Srila Prabhupada is wanting that we are actively engaged in distributing Krishna consciousness in the busy towns and cities rather than just thinking about our own spiritual emancipation or liberation. That to actually make Srila Prabhupada happy, we should, as his postman, go and distribute Krishna consciousness. So I'll try to talk a little bit more about that. And we should be convinced that this is the actual way to become happy. So if we're convinced of that, then we can inspire others to take up that same process. So we'll rewind a little bit. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared for two reasons. His external reason, this is discussed in the verse in Adi Lila 3:19. I won't go to the verse because I have trouble pronouncing the Sanskrit, so I'll just discuss the philosophy. External reason is to spread the chanting of the holy names and teach how people can get Krishna prema through the chanting of those holy names in this Kali Yuga. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, and that's his external reason for coming. And he's giving Krishna prema in four mellows, or bhakti, devotional service in four mellows: Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhura. Dasya means servant, Sakya in friendship, Vatsalya in parental ras, and Madhura conjugal ras. So he's coming to give that through the chanting of the holy name. So this is, he's come to spread love of Godhead through that chanting. So, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's wanting that this whole world is going to dance in Krishna prema. That is his desire. So he's a practical teacher. So when he comes as Krishna, he's saying, I shall accept the mood of a devotee and I shall teach bhakti. He's deciding like that. Unless I practice bhakti, or the process of being a Sharanagata, full surrender to Krishna, in my own life, I cannot teach it to others. So this is the mood in which Krishna comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wants that everyone will dance and chant in ecstasy in every town and village. So when Krishna comes 5,000 years ago, in his own form, the Shyamasunda, in his pastimes in Kurukshetra, he teaches Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, and he's teaching him like the most confidential knowledge, more confidential, and the most confidential knowledge. So the most confidential instruction is Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto Mad Yaji Mam Namaskaro. Yeah? Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee, worship me, and offer homage unto me. So that is his instruction in Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. And the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita is Sarvadhamma Parichajama may come Saranam Raja. So abandon all varieties of religion or dharma and surrender unto me. So he's Krishna when he comes just over 5,000 years ago. His desire is that everyone will surrender all varieties of dharma and just worship Krishna with love. So then, but Lord Krishna, he's only explaining this theoretically. He never taught how to surrender practically. So then, because Krishna's Suridam Sarvabhutanam, you know, the well-wishing friend of all living entities, then he's actually come and he's giving this confidential teaching to Arjuna for mankind, but because this was just happening in Dwapara Yuga, the end of Dwapara Yuga, this occurred. So he's now comes Kali Yuga, the age that we're in. It's a very sinful and degraded age. All sorts of sinful activities are carrying on. More and more meat eating, more and more gambling, more and more intoxication, more and more illicit sex is going on in front of our very eyes. Day by day, year by year. Year by year, it's getting more and more degraded. So, hence the consciousness of the people is becoming more and more polluted in this Kali Yuga. So then Krishna was thinking, well, how will they understand this Sharanagati Tattva, this process of complete surrender to Krishna in Kali Yuga? So, with this in mind, Krishna is thinking, I will come again to practically demonstrate this surrender. So Krishna comes in the mood of a devotee in Bhakta Bhav as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so this is his, and he's come to teach just by chanting the holy names of Krishna that one can develop love Krishna for Krishna. So one fully surrenders themselves to this chanting. So that's Krishna's, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's external reason for coming. So Krishna also has an internal reason for appearing as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So as we said, the external reason is Krishna appears as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the sake of others. That's his external reason. It's for the sake of others. To save people like ourselves who are products of Kali Yuga, who find it very hard to serve Krishna. He's come to save them. But he's also got an internal reason, which is for himself, that Krishna comes. So this is described in Adi Lila 1.6 by Sarup Damodar. And this verse is also spoken by Rupa Goswami in Lalita Madhava. And here, when Krishna was performing his pastimes, when they were winding up, he still had three desires that remained unfulfilled. So he wanted to understand what is Radharani's love, and then what is my Rup Madhuri, my excellent beauty that Radharani is relishing, and how can I relish it? So Krishna's feeling that these desires are unfulfilled. And the third one was, what type of pleasure or happiness does Radharani derive by relishing my beauty? And how can I relish it? So Krishna's, there's his internal desires for wanting to come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, with this in mind, Krishna appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Krishna is coming in the mood of Radharani, and that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So who's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He's Krishna in the mood of a devotee, and he's coming in that mood of Srimati Radharani. And this happens just over 500 years ago as he appears in Navadvip, West Bengal, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So what is Radharani's mood? So Radharani is constantly thinking about Krishna and Krishna's pleasure. Radharani's an ocean of compassion. Her desire is to see all the other living entities engaged in serving Krishna. And she gets pleasure seeing them engaged in serving Krishna. So Radharani is with the gopis, that when Krishna leaves, doesn't actually leave Vrindavan, but when he leaves to go to Mathura, all the gopis and they're crying in separation, missing Krishna. They want to understand. They're always thinking, "Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna?" But in that mood of separation, Krishna's always in their heart. Just like when we have an affection for a person, and we always think of them, even though they're separate from them, we feel very close to them. So Radharani's in this mood. So Mahaprabhu, when he's traveling through India, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, he's crying in this mood of separation. Where's Krishna? Where's Krishna? Like this. So this is the Premnam Sankirtan that is being spread by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's a practical teacher. He's chanting the holy names. He's encouraging others to chant the holy names in that mood of separation from Krishna, because he's in the mood of Radharani. So you can see that he's chanting, he's dancing, and he's spreading the glories of Krishna and teaching the process of devotional service for how to be a Sharanagrita. So we can see that the internal and external reasons for his appearance, they're very closely connected. So, and then we can understand that the acharyas in our line, Rupa Manjari, or Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, the six Goswamis, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta, and Srila Prabhupada, they're Gaura Priyajanas, they're very dear devotees of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Gaura means Gauranga, Priya means very dear, and Janas like his own family, the acharyas in our line. Why are they so dear to Gauranga Mahaprabhu? Because actually they're also understood to be Radha Priya Sakis, the girlfriends that assist Radharani in giving pleasure for Radha and Krishna's conjugal loving pastimes. So these are they're Manjaris in our line, it's understood, our acharyas. They're very exalted personalities. So in that regard, I just wanted to say a few points before we get to the Sankirtan part of things, but this is connected. Who Srila Prabhupada is? So he's understood as the Senapati Bhakta. What does that mean? So I'll just read from this, a book called Chaitanya Mongol, which is written by a devotee called Lochan Das Thakur. And in that book, we'll quote from it. I'll just read. This is from a lecture that was given by Bhakti Trumaj, so I'm just taking some part of it. Because in Sri Chaitanya Mongol, Sri Lochan Das Thakur, the future appearance of a great Senapati Bhakta by Lord Chaitanya himself, who was preached, the future appearance of great Senapati Bhakta, general of the devotees, who would preach Krishna conscious all over the world, is predicted by Lord Chaitanya himself. So the verse goes, Yadi papi chadi dharma dure desh ya mora Senapati Bhakta yabi tata haya. Taking the sharp sword of the congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, Nam Sangatan, I will root out and destroy the demoniac mentality in the hearts of all conditioned souls. If some sinful people escape and give up religious principles to go far off countries, then my Senapati Bhakta will come, and at that time he will come and give them Krishna consciousness. So, it's described, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is predicting that one of his dear devotees will come to the Western countries and save those people that have forgotten about Krishna consciousness. And then another quote from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya again predicts, Priti Viti Achen Yadi Nada Nada Naga Radigram Sarvatra Pracha Hobe Mor Nam. My whole name will be chanted in every town and village. So then we see Srila Prabhupada's movement is fulfilling that prediction by his mercy and unprecedented accomplishments. Again, from Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Antya 4.126. Lord Chaitanya personally said, Priti Prajata Prajanta Jata Ache Desh Gram Sarvatra Prachara Hoibe Mora Nam. My holy name will be preached in all the countries and towns that exist throughout the world. So we can see that these predictions are being made, and who's actually fulfilled and fulfilling these predictions. It's so just to go one more and then we'll carry on. Here's the prediction of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. It's very inspiring. There's a statement in the Sajatoshini of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur regarding the future appearance of a great personality who would come to the West and preach the message of Lord Gauranga and fulfill the prediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The following is a translation from the journal of Vaishnav Toshini. Sriman Mahaprabhu did not descend with his associates to deliver a certain number of human beings in the land of India, but rather his purpose was to deliver and uplift all living beings in all countries of the world by preaching the eternal religion of the soul, Sanatan Dharma. There are many kinds of religion in the world, and among all of them, the highest development of religion is the congregational chanting of the Supreme Lord's divine names. Of this there is no doubt. Alas, when, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, when will that day come when all great fortunate souls in countries such as England, France, Russia, Persia and America will take up banners, kettle drums, mridangas, kartels, and thus cause the ecstatic wave of Harinam Kirtan and the singing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's holy name to rise in the streets of their towns and cities. When will that day come when pure and transcendental Krishna Prem, love of God, will be the only religion of all souls, and all tiny sectarian religions will meet in the unlimited and universal religion of devotional service to Krishna as rivers merge into the great ocean? Oh, when will that day come? So we can see here, so who's actually fulfilling that prediction of Bhakti Vinod Thakur? It's our Srila Prabhupada. He's doing that. If you go to Mayapur Dham today in Gaur Pradeem time, you'll see devotees from China, Russia, America, India, Europe, all coming together to chant the holy names of Krishna. So, just going on a little bit further. In summary, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur has made three predictions concerning a person and a phenomena. The first prediction, a personality will soon appear, wrote Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki, Ji Gaur Nitai Ki, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki. So the first prediction, a personality will soon appear, wrote Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and he will travel all over the world to spread the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. The second prediction, very soon the chanting of the Harinam Sankirtan will be spread all over the world. Oh, when will that day come, and when will people from America, England, France, Germany, Russia will take up kartels, mridangas and chant Hare Krishna in their towns? The third prediction, when will that day come when the fair-skinned foreigners will come to Mayapur Dham and join with the Bengali Vaishnavas to chant Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana. When will that day be? So we can see what an exalted acharya A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada is. Srila Prabhupada ki. So just going into how does this connect with book distribution, you know. So you can see that Srila Prabhupada is an empowered representative of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda. You can see he's really a manifestation of Lord Nityananda's mercy, because he's wanting that everyone from all walks of life will come to Krishna consciousness and they'll chant the holy names of Krishna. So, by his strong desire, Krishna consciousness has spread throughout the Western world and is flourishing in India as well. So, it's an opportunity for us to take part in the propagation of this holy name through book distribution. So, we can see Srila Prabhupada's books, they're specially empowered by this parampara, and by Srila Prabhupada's got empowerment that through the writings in his books, people come to Krishna consciousness. Yeah. I didn't get time to look up where it said, but you'll hear many times that these are law books for the next 10,000 years. So I ran out of time, you know, I was like preparing notes, nervous and all that, you know. So I just wanted to just read a couple of things of how how Harinam Sankirtan connects to the distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books. So if you just bear with me and try and hear patiently. So this is coming from a very nice book, The Nectar of Book Distribution, and it's books as a means to propagate the Yuga Dharma Sankirtan. Sankirtan, or congregational chanting, can't be separated from preaching, as shown by Lord Chaitanya and his followers. Preaching means engaging others in the Sankirtan Yajna of hearing and chanting the holy names or rendering service, knowingly or unknowingly. And devotees are very expert. Whichever way they can engage people in Krishna consciousness, they'll do it. The most effective means of spreading Yuga Dharma is book distribution. Why this is so will now be explained in Srila Prabhupada's own words. So here we have a title of this section is Brihat Madanga. So without literature, how can we enlighten the people at large? My Guru Maharaj used to say that the printing press is the Brihat Madanga. Brihat means bigger, at large, bigger Madanga. Just like we are playing Madanga, this Madanga can be vibrated in the neighboring quarter. But our Madanga, back to Godhead, that will go far, far away. So therefore, this press was considered by my Guru Maharaj as Brihat Madanga. So this press propaganda, this literature propaganda is required because Krishna consciousness is not sentiment. It is not that some sentimental people are gathering here and are dancing and chanting. No. There is background, there is philosophical background, there is theological understanding. So here it's clear that Srila Prabhupada is wanting that we distribute his books because they leave a permanent impression in the hearts of those that read them and will encourage them to chant the holy names. Going on a little bit further, this is entitled Sales of Literature That Is Our Great Sankirtan. It's another recording of Srila Prabhupada's instructions on this subject matter. After Prabhupada planted the seeds of bhakti and founded ISKCON, increasing number of devotees went out, directed by Srila Prabhupada, to perform Harinam Sankirtan in parks and streets. Soon as an addition to the chanting party, they began selling magazines. Later, when book distribution started, the book distributors went out without the chanting party, but still the book distribution was called going on Sankirtan. In this way, Sankirtan in ISKCON became practically synonymous with book distribution. But this was nothing new to the parampara. Prabhupada's spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, had introduced the production and distribution of spiritual literature under the name Brihat Kirtan or Brihat Madanga. And Srila Prabhupada continued using that expression as seen in the following quotations. Please increase the sales of literatures. That is our great Sankirtan, Brihat Madanga. That's one quote. So the books are selling and we are expanding. This book distribution is Brihat Madanga. My Guru Maharaj used to say that these literatures are Brihat Madanga. That is to say, the big Madanga. Because like the Madanga, which can be heard from a long distance, simply a few words can have a tremendous effect on millions of people if they are propagated widely. So it is our duty above all to print these words for the general benefit of mankind. Therefore, if you can assist me in this manner, then that will be the greatest service. One more. Oh, your intense love for me, I am living... Oh, your intense love for me, I am living for you. All over the world, everything is going on. Money is coming in and being spent. And I don't have to worry. I am so much indebted, and I am taking much service from you all. That is Brihat Mridanga. I am beating from this room, and the sound goes 10,000 miles away. So we can see what is Srila Prabhupada's mood. He's wanting that we chant the holy names, but he's stressing that we should distribute books. So sometimes the question comes out, Harinam or book distribution? So just for our edification, I just wanted to read this. This is very important, this part of understanding Prabhupada's mood and the balance between the two. So this is called the Wider Kirtan book distribution. So here's the first letter. Regarding Sankirtan and book distribution, both should go on, but book distribution is more important. It is Brihat Kirtan. In Tokyo airport, one boy had come up to me and asked if he could speak with me. I said yes. Then he asked me, Swamiji, where do you get all that knowledge in your books? Of course, it is Krishna's knowledge, not mine, is Prabhupada's reply. But the effect is there. So for Wider Kirtan, book distribution is better, Prabhupada's words. Book distribution is Kirtan. Another little excerpt. Sangatan, if it is not possible, never mind. Try to organize a meeting and impress upon the people Srimad Bhagavatam philosophy by explaining. This is also Sangatan, although not singing. So where Sangatan is hampered, we can go on with Kirtan and distributing magazines, and that is more important than Sankirtan, that is Brihat Mridanga. Last quote, and then we'll just finish the class. Here at Maipur, my Guru Maharaj was printing one paper. It was selling for only a few pice. Sometimes whenever one Brahmachari would come to Navadvip and sell even a few copies, I would see my Guru Maharaj becoming very much pleased. Even if the Brahmachari was not a very important member, my Guru Maharaj would become very, very pleased with him. He personally instructed me that books are more important than big temples. That books are more important than big temples. At Radhakund, he told me that since constructing the big temples at Bagh Bazar, there's been so many difficulties. Our men were envious over who would live in which rooms. I think it would be better to take off the marble and sell them and print books. He told me personally, Sri Srila Prabhupada. So I am always emphasizing book distribution. It is the better kirtan. It is better than chanting. Of course, chanting should not stop, but book distribution is the best kirtan. So we can see, Mahaprabhu is wanting that in every town and village we should chant the holy names. And Srila Prabhupada is stressing that we should chant the holy names, but we have to carry on distributing books at the same time. This is Srila Prabhupada's formula, he's expressed through his letters. So, just a few more practical words from that. So how powerful these books are. They've been empowered by Srila Prabhupada. Yesterday morning I was speaking to Gadagaraj, who's been distributing books for many years. I said, what's your realization that Srila Prabhupada's books are powerful? She goes, well, when I give a book, he said, I get some ecstasy in my heart straight away. So, practical realization. Any devotee who goes on the street and distributes books, they'll feel ecstatic when the book goes out. Yeah? Practical realization. Yeah? When I give a book, I feel some ecstasy. Yeah? Very nice, you know. So we can see these books are empowered and people are feeling it. Yeah. I had one practical experience. I was A few years back, I was out with Paul in Ipswich, maybe about 6 years ago, and I'd just come back from India, and it's like warm there, and it was like freezing cold, a rainy day, and I was just standing next to my box, and I was just looking at the street. Everyone's looking miserable, so I was thinking, you know, Krishna, how am I going to distribute these books? You know, I was like, when you don't distribute books for some time, your consciousness gets a little bit covered, so you're feeling nervous. So I thought, anyway, let's just start now. So I just got out, started trying to stop people. And then suddenly after about 10 minutes, one gentleman, he stopped. And he's, so I just gave him a book, said these books about yoga, meditation, started talking. He goes, you know what? I met you guys 20 years ago. Now he'd been telling me that he'd had a business, he was working in Romford, in Essex, and he'd had a restaurant. The restaurant's wound up now. He's come to retire. His son was settled. He was telling me all these things. I was thinking, you know, I'm going to get this book, you know, this book through to this person, you know. So I started to tell him, you know, you've wound down your life and everything's settled, but still, I guess there's some empty feeling in your heart, because when you get to around 50, you start to feel, you know, what have I done with my life? So I was thinking maybe there's a little chink there. And then we can tell him that these books could actually fill that gap, you know. So as I started to talk to him, he goes, you know what, I met you guys 20 years ago. I said, yeah, really? He said, yeah, there's one devotee, his name was John. He was a healer. I said, oh, really? And he was with a devotee called Govinda Bhakta. Govinda Bhakta used to distribute many, many books, a very dedicated Sankirtan devotee. And John the healer, he happened to be the person that brought me to Krishna consciousness. He's actually Jayadev. He's the musician, Gurangi's father. So I was thinking, wow, I'm meeting this person that's met the same person that got me to come to Krishna consciousness in the middle of Ipswich on the street. So I was immediately feeling inspired in my heart. So I said, really, you met John the healer? So, and he said, yeah, they came to my house and they were selling me these paintings, you know, because at that time Sankirtan was a mixture of activities. But there's a picture of Arjuna and Krishna, and I said, I'll buy that painting. He had a big house, nice house. He said, if you ride on my they had this lawnmower that was like a motorized lawnmower, you know. So of course, you know, devotees, whatever it takes to sell some books, distribute some, gets, yes, no problem. So they driving around on the lawnmower. Afterwards, he bought some paintings and he bought some books. And he says, I'll never forget that John the healer. I said, why is that? He said, because my son had asthma and he couldn't get rid of it. And this John the healer did some healing on my son. And from that day till now, he's never had asthma again. I think, see how amazing they use their talents in Krishna's service. So I think this is now the perfect time for me to. So I said, you know, I'm just asking you, it's 20 years later, but I reckon it must be time for you now. You please take some of these books. He goes, no problem. He pulled out £20 from his pocket, you know. I said, my God, I only had like, so I took all the books from my box, Gita, you know, like Bhagavatam, Science of Self-Realization, Chambhavi gave to him. So I was thinking, wow, what an amazing experience. I'm worrying how I'm going to distribute these books. And Krishna's not arranging some inspiration for him, but he's arranging some inspiration for me to start my Sankirtan. Yeah, I'll just depend on Krishna maybe. He's reminding me, because I'm so foolish. He's reminding, that's how kind Mahaprabhu is, Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. So then this was carrying on. Then 10 minutes later, I was like, complete, you know, you get a nice experience and you light up, no? So I was distributing, and then this old granny starts walking down the street, you know? So I thought, I was thinking, I don't get to see my mum and dad so often because I'm trying to be a missionary person, so I should try to give this granny's book on behalf of my mum and dad. So I was thinking in my heart, you know? Maybe Mahaprabhu will look after them if I do something here, you know? Businessman, you know? So I stopped this lady. I said, we're monks, we're passing out these books about yoga and meditation. She goes, oh yeah. I said, they're talking about karma, reincarnation. She goes, oh yeah. I said, they're teaching how to live in a stress-free and happy way. I said, So I was thinking, this lady's very affirmative with me, you know? The three yeses they talk about, you know? She's giving about five or six, you know? So I said, you know, madam, you know, everything I'm telling you, you're just kind of agreeing with straight away. She says, yes, last year, just about 10 yards from when you were standing, I met some of your colleagues, and they gave me some of your books. I said, oh, did you get this one? Showed her Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah, I got that. I showed her, I don't know, it was a Perfection of Yoga. Yeah, I got that one. And then I showed her, I'd forgotten, it was 6 years ago. I said, one other book. Yeah, I got that. She says, you got all the books? I said, oh, She goes, so I said, are you reading them? Yeah, I'm reading them. I was thinking, my gosh, you know, I may as well just ask. I said, do you chant the holy names of Krishna? He goes, yeah, I'm chanting 16 rounds every day. I said, do you go to a temple or anything? She says, no, I'm just reading the books and chanting. That's what Prabhupada says to do in the books. So I was thinking, wow, you know, how powerful Srila Prabhupada's books are. So I was thinking, anyway, you know, I keep five high tastes in my box. So I thought, look, the last hope for me to get a book to this lady, you know, she's got everything anyway. I said, I've got something. Are you vegetarian as well? Yeah. I'm vegetarian. I said, I got this vegetarian cookbook. So, Hare Krishna vegetarian. Yeah, because it said I'd become a vegetarian, so I bought some vegetarian cookbooks and I'm preparing my food and offering it to Krishna. I said, so you take it? She goes, yeah, I'll take that book. So I gave her a book, she gave her a donation, off she went, walking down there. I said, in the back, there's addresses of our centres, you should try to come to one. She said, yeah, okay, no problem. Off she went, she's like waddling down the road, you know. So we can see the how wonderful this book distribution is, how powerful these books are, and what arrangements the Lord is making as a Paramatma to bring people together, not just for the benefit of the public, but if you distribute Prabhupada's books, you get faith that Mahaprabhu is there with you, and he's taking care of you, and he's inspiring you, teaching you through these different living entities that are sent into your path. Another, for myself, I think there's a, I'll just tell two more stories and we should stop because we're running late. One time, I was out with, we'd done the Christmas marathon, long marathon, with Sridharam that year, and we were doing like long hours, but for us, you know, it was like six, seven hours a day, 6 days a week, 1 day's rest for a month, getting really tired. So we finished in about the second week of January, because being grihastha, you have to consider our maintenance as well. So we stopped, and then that day I'd come with my wife to the temple, and she bent down, and her back went, it went out. She was in pain, nearly vomiting on the floor. And so then we got her up, and we found out that she had to go to an osteopath, you know. So I was thinking, oh gosh, you know. So we found out to go to osteopath costing something like 70 or 80 pounds for 45 minutes treatment. So I think I'll just finish the marathon. I told some of the devotees this story, but it's a nice story to understand the mercy of Mahaprabhu and so on. So I was thinking, how am I gonna, you know, just about got enough now to get back to India and pay my rent in England. And, you know, I said, Krishna, what are you doing? You know, I'm tired now, you know. It's the end of the marathon, you know. It's time for me to rest. Everyone's resting 2 weeks ago, you know. I was feeling inside like this. You know? I wasn't saying that to anyone. I was just like thinking like that. So I was thinking anyway, and Sridharam had stopped. He knocked off that day. So, you know, once your mind says, I've stopped, that's it. You're not going to, you don't go, you need to rest, you know. So I was thinking anyway, you know, it's my wife, I should, you know, best should give a proper treatment. I can't just save a few pennies, you know, to, you know. So somehow Pramanava was going out that day. So the day before, so I found some devotees and that were going out, and we went to Oxford. I think it was Sada and Jai. Who's the other? There's one more in the There's one more. There was four of us, I remember, in the car because it was a tight squeeze. I squeezed in as a fourth one. So they were kind enough. They let me come to Oxford with them. So we were on the street and we started distributing some books. I met these four boys. So I put a book in each of their hand. Three of them, they gave back their books. The fourth one, who was looking at his book, all excited, you know. So I said, yeah, we're monks, the book's about yoga and meditation. We're just asking for a donation to cover costs of printing up our work as monks. So he pulls out his wallet, it's all bright-faced. And he's saying, I've got no money. He starts showing me, innocent boy, you know, showing me his wallet, you know. And as he's showing me his wallet, I saw this little piece of paper and it caught my eye. So I said, what's that? So how did you, what's that, what does that piece of paper say? So he's saying to me, he's reading it, you know, Sri Isisho Panishad. He read it to me. I said, how come that's in your wallet, you know? And he goes, because I was in, a couple of weeks ago, I was in Amsterdam with my friends, and we were in a coffee shop. And there was four of my friends, they were talking to each other, and I was kind of like the spare wheel, he said. So I saw this monk in the coffee shop, so I was thinking, monk in the coffee shop, you know. Either he's drinking milk or, you know, or some warm drink, or, you know, like, or maybe he's needing a bit of energy because he's tired, so he might be drinking other substances. But I think anyway, he's a monk. Yeah. So I went up to this monk and I started talking to him because I'm interested in all this karma and yoga that you're talking about. I said, no. And he said, we had this really nice conversation about karma, reincarnation. He was really enthusiastic. And then this monk wrote down that when you get back to England, you should get this book. So I knew which book I'd put in his hand. So I said, turn around the book and read the title. So the book was Sri Shapanishad in his hand. So I said, you can't, the other four, three are watching him. I said, you can't say there's no God. And he goes, yeah, this is far out. You know, like, even I was thinking this far out. You know, this is far out, you know. So then he came out of his little bubble. He goes, but I still ain't got no money. I'd already decided this book was his book. It wasn't that I have to worry about any Lakshmi or anything. So I said, anyway, this is your book. I think it was already arranged for you. So anyway, if any of your friends could drop in a pound or something to have a, help cover the cost, it would help. But you can have it anyway. So he asked his friends. They gave me £1. I said, thanks. I said, it's worth more than a pound, so make sure you read it. He goes, definitely, I'll be reading this book. And he walked off happily, you know. So this is the first day. Then next day, I hadn't really made the profit to cover the osteopath treatment, so I was thinking, anyway, one more day. So Pramanava, he was going to South Mim services. So I said, can we go together? You know, I've got to do, you know, I've got some problems financially. He goes, yeah, we'll go, you know. So we went, and we took two halves of the car park. So in about the first 10 minutes, I was distributing books, and I opened the door of this car, I looked at this man, and I looked and I said, you look like Ray Steele. This old man is looking at me. And I said, yeah, you look like Professor Ray Steele. He goes, I am Professor Ray Steele. So I put my hand out, I said, my name's Dr. Ramos, do you remember me? He goes, yeah, what are you doing? I said, well, I became a Hare Krishna. So this person, when I was doing a PhD when I was younger, the professor that I used to work for, we were competing for a contract for mobile communication engineering. So we beat his university, which is in Southampton, to get this contract, which was worth about £500,000. And I was leading that bid. So he's looking at me like, what are you doing? I said, well, you know, I became a monk, Hare Krishna monk. And so I thought, let me break the ice a bit. So his wife is walking out the other side of the car now. So I said, madam, when I was a young student, Professor A. Steele was an outspoken professor. He'd stand up in a conference and tell people, you know, I disagree with this. He's like very famous. He's like a director on boards for Vodafone, Nokia in America, whatever. So as I said this, she started laughing. He says, nothing changed. And he started laughing. He was laughing as well. So, okay, now time to strike, you know. So I said, anyway, Ray, you know, we're passing out these books about, it's a chart and behalf, books about yoga and meditation. They're teaching people how to live in a stress-free and happy way in modern society. Why don't you take one? So as I was saying, I was thinking, yeah, why don't you take one? This guy's loaded, actually, you know. So I've got this problem in the osteopath. So maybe Krishna's making some divine arrangement for me. So I said, why don't you, first I said, why don't you chuck in a fiver? But as I was saying, I suddenly realized, this problem. And I said, actually, Ray, you're a big man. You should give 100 today. Yeah? That's how I could turn the race to, It wasn't 1 million, it was 100. You know. So then he went for his wallet, And he pulled out his wallet and he gave me something like 3 or 4 pence. And I was like, so I thought, anyway, I can't say anything because the relationship we have from before. So I couldn't even ask him for a pound to cover the cost of the book because it would look wrong. So I was happy, I gave it to him. I said, don't forget to say hello to Hamid, my PhD supervisor. He said, is he still at King's College? He said, no, he's lecturing in America. When I go there, I'll see him. Don't say. So then as he left, he went in. I think it was time for us to switch. So I was telling you, wow, it's pretty far out that we met this guy, And we were talking and he was telling me, yeah, Sankta's amazing, Pramana's got many, many nice stories. If you ever ask him, he'll tell you. Many times people, they'll come up to Pramandava and I'm distributing, maybe a few days later in town, said, yeah, I met this nice devotee called Prema. And it makes it easier for you to give them a book because he's already warmed them up, So we was talking and just as we're talking, it was about 20 minutes later by this time's happened, this car pulled up, Ray Steele jumps out of his car, and he's walking up to him, he pulls a fiver out of his pocket. He goes, I didn't have any change, but I got some now. Please take this. So quickly he had taken a chart behind me, he said, take this, this is Isha Upanishad, it's a little bit more scientific, might be more up your street. He goes, yeah, thanks, took the book. I said, don't forget to say hello to Hamid when you meet him. He goes, yeah, and off he went. Yeah. So I was thinking, how Krishna, he's in Southampton normally. I'm in the middle of South Mimms. It's probably about 15 years at the time before since I've been involved in that circle of people. Krishna's arranges for meeting in a car park. So therefore, anyway, we switched car parks. Oh, we had a lunch break, I think. We had a bit of prasadam. And I thought, I've got another 40 minutes or an hour left. So I'm just going to really concentrate for Slasa. No friendly talking. Just quick exchange, like Vishnubhava was saying, be efficient, effective, So I was thinking about it, and I was like, I've still got this problem on my hands, So then the first car I came up to was a truck. A pickup truck for, like when cars break down. So I was like, put my hand to the window. I was like, put a chart and be happy. I said, yeah, we're monks. The book's about yoga and meditation. So the man in the truck goes, all right, mate. I'm on the same page as you. Don't worry, but I ain't got no money. So I should have just, according to my own, what I was trained to do, I should have gone on. But something inside me was saying, this guy's a nice guy. I mean, already we had the Isho man the day before, and now Ray Steele. So I was feeling ecstatic inside, whatever. So anyway, I'm going to preach. He looks like a nice guy. I'm going to preach to him anyway. I don't know what was telling me to do it. So then I said, yeah, the book's about yoga, meditation. He says, I told you, I'm on the same page as you, mate. He says, what did he say? He says, I'm a pagan. So I thought, I don't know why, I just thought, anyway, let me hook him. So I said, what exactly is a pagan like? I didn't know, So he said, yeah, well, we worship the mountains, the sun. I said, that's pretty far. I guess you worship God through nature. So I didn't bring him around to my subject, He goes, yeah, something like that. And then suddenly he just said, I'm also a Reiki healer. So I said, I was just really happy by now, all these things were happening. So it's like January now, it's freezing cold, got all these jackets on, and I had a hat on my head. So I pulled a hat off and I said, do some healing on me. He goes, you're right, I'll do that. So he puts his hands out of the cabin of the truck thing, and I'm looking up at him like this. He's down there like that. And and I'm looking at him, he's doing his healing like that. So I see a frown on his face, So I said, what's up? What's happening? He says, well, normally when I do this healing, the energy comes out of the universe through my hands into your head. But what's happening right now, the energy is coming out of your head into my hands. So I said to him, I guess we're doing a bit of channeling as well. We're praying to our spiritual teacher, Srila Prabhupada, and the higher authority. I didn't want to say God because he was a pagan. I guess we're doing a giving activity, so the energy must be working the other way. He goes, yeah. And he was really happy. And then he goes, and as well as that, I'm just saying this for the story, not to glorify myself. So you seem like a quite well-motivated young gentleman. I said, thank you. I need a bit of encouragement from time to time. Sometimes grihastha book distributors get tarnished with bad labels. So it was very encouraging to hear, you know, like that. So then he became really friendly with me now. So then he comes up to me and starts, he goes, yeah, also, people think I'm a bit mad, because he was a really kind person, you know, because we're a bit mad. They think I'm also a clairvoyant, but people think I'm mad. So I said, you don't look mad, you look a really nice guy. He goes, a couple of weeks, then he starts to qualify this, he goes, a couple of weeks ago, I met this man, I picked him up in my truck. Now, whilst he's all going, the phone's going, where are you? And he goes, yeah, I'm looking for you. He's just picking up the guy he was in the car, in the south room, he was going to take his car, but he says, well, I'll just quickly finish this and we've got to go, you know. So it was a couple of weeks ago, this man, I picked up his car, and then, it was amazing, a message came through for me. I said, yeah, what was the message? He says, well, this man, there's a message saying that you've got to contact your sister. So the man said, yeah, that makes sense. My mobile phone broke, so maybe she's been contacting the old number. So then, 3 days later, this man rang me up and he thanked me. He said, I'm in. So I didn't tell him how important it was. So 3 days later, this man contacted me from Los Angeles. He said, thanks for prompting me. My sister was in hospital, giving childbirth. She nearly died 4 times in child labor. She's all right, and the kids are all right. I'm just very grateful you for giving me the message. I said, wow, that's a pretty far-out story. So by now I was thinking, anyway, even if I just want to give him a book anyway, maybe he could come to the temple or something. So he goes, anyway, I like you. Is it possible we could exchange phone numbers? And I said, yeah, no problem. I was actually thinking that myself, you know. So then I said, yeah, well, my name is Brother Reuben. Sometimes I'm a monk, Brother Reuben. You know, it sounds better than Buck to Reuben. They wouldn't understand that. So he goes, Brother Reuben? Like, seriously. So I thought, oh, gosh, I've been a little bit too colloquial, you know, with him. So I said, my name's Reuben, actually. You know, so he goes, it's really funny. The other night we were in our circle, because he goes, and a message came through to me that I'm meant to meet a man called Reuben, and he's going to give me some important information. So here we're standing at end by now. I was thinking, you know, like we've got the Isho man, we've got Ray Steele now. You know, just Brother Reuben, I don't even know him. And so I said, yeah, the message was, because I'd given him a chart and be happy, and we'd started reading the first page, which has got the intro with George Harrison. So the message was that the most important information is that you chant this mantra. So we chanted the Maha Mantra together, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So as he's chanting, he goes, there's also something else I want to tell you. I'm a white witch, but I've never seen a spell like this. He's a real character, you know. So I said, this is a really, really special spell. If you chant this mantra, it will heal all your chakras and everything and more. You just try and chant. He goes, I will. I like you. I'll chant it, you know. So then the phone call, and he goes, look, I've got to go, I'm going to get in trouble with my boss, because they track how they're working. So we left. So then as I walked away, I was thinking, you know, here's me worrying about how I'm going to get maintained, you know. We have one man getting an Isha Upanishad, and I don't know about it. Ray Steele getting the book in the middle of nowhere, and a man meeting a man called Reuben, and getting his important message, and I don't know about it. So what do I have to worry about? I should just carry on doing my service and trust in Srila Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I'm just wanting to say that, because we should all take this opportunity to distribute books, and we will actually tangibly experience the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I just want to tell one tiny story before I stop. Just to show how practically people get this mercy, one of the my wife's Sankirtan partners was at the manor. She was distributing books for many years, and then she went away and she got married, and then she was she had to start doing some college, some university studying, and she was like, she was lamenting when she was living in America. Oh, what's my life now? I'm doing all this studying, I'm just cooking and cleaning. She was very morose inside her heart, and remembering her happy days when she was just distributing books and Brahmacharini and so on. And that night, I don't want to misrep this, but somehow Mahaprabhu came in her dream and said to her, "Don't worry, I'm remembering all your service, everything will be fine." So Mahaprabhu, we hear that if you distribute Prabhupada's books, Mahaprabhu will personally take care of you. So this devotee is now again with her husband. She happened to arrangement made that she got a husband who was a Sankirtan devotee. They're distributing books again. Mahaprabhu hasn't forgotten her. So I just wanted to end with that story, because that was something real that happened with some devotees that were distributing books with us. So I stopped there. I went well over time. You forgive me for that. Srila Prabhupada ki.